As we get started, believe it or not, I actually started working in youth ministry back in 1988. That was many years ago. Some of you probably weren't even born yet, were you? Some of the young ones are trying to count back and stuff like that. And over these years, one of the most common questions is, how do we know that God is real? But you know what? It's a question that we as grown-ups ask as well. And probably the best way to answer this question is to take a look at Jesus' life. See, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. In John 10, chapter 30, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." See, he claimed that God was his Father. And he claimed many of the characteristics of God. For example, Christ claimed to have the authority to forgive sins. He claimed that one day he would sit at the right hand of God in power, and that he would come back with power to judge. He actually asserted several times that he had the authority and the power to raise the dead. But words are cheap, aren't they? You or I could make the exact same claims today, here and now. But it's another thing to be able to prove them, to walk the talk. And when Jesus was on earth, he spoke with authority, and the people marveled, but they still weren't convinced by his mere words. It took more. It usually took miracles and wonders to prove to those that were watching that Jesus was who he said he was, God's Son. So this morning, I want to try to attempt to answer that question as we finish up the fourth chapter of Luke, and we'll be looking at verses 38 through 44 in a little bit, in a message that is titled, "Jesus is God's Son, True or False?" And the only way to answer that question is to look at his life and his actions and see whether indeed they prove Jesus' self-claims. But before we get to that, it's important to realize that when we talk about Jesus, you basically have four choices. And by the end of the service today, you will have to decide which one of those four you're going to make. The first is that he is a liar. He knew he wasn't God's son, but he deliberately misled those that heard him. Maybe it was for a big ego trip, or maybe it was to gain popularity. Most people, even those who don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, believe he was a great moral teacher or maybe even a prophet. And he was teaching people how to live right before God. But there's a problem here if you think that he's a great moral teacher but not the Son of God. Because Jesus could hardly be a great moral teacher if he is living this double life. Lying about his own identity? See, he either was who he said he was, in which case we should listen to him, or Jesus is a liar. And on all accounts, we can't trust anything that he says. Now, the second option is that Jesus was well-meaning but a little bit confused. Basically, he was a lunatic. But when we look at his life, we don't see an abnormal or imbalanced or unbalanced person who has no control of himself. In fact, we see just the opposite. Jesus always seems to be in control, even when he is faced with all kinds of external pressures. There is little evidence that Jesus was a lunatic. Now, the third option is that Jesus was a legend. Now, there is no doubt that Jesus of Nazareth lived and died. His life and death are testified by Roman historians that were living at that time. But some argue that while Jesus was a real man, the stories about him and the accounts of the miracles, they were fabricated. And they're the stuff of legends and stories. This is a difficult argument to support, though, because the four gospel accounts, biographies, if you like, were written within the lifetime of eyewitnesses. And Luke, the reason we're going through this, the investigative gospel, Luke actually traveled around and interviewed people to create this story, this biography of Jesus' life for his friend, Theophilus. Now, to have made up such fairy tales and have them accepted as truth by the population at large would have been inconceivable. It would be much like us saying that Elvis Presley was not just the king of rock and roll, but he was actually God's son, and he traveled around the United States doing incredible miracles. He healed people. He rose people from the dead. He even brought rain to parts of the country which were suffering from drought. He was God's son, and he's actually risen from the dead now, and lives up in heaven. Okay, now some of you think he may still be alive, but see, now we wouldn't believe any of that story. We wouldn't believe a line of that, because we could probably easily track down people here in the United States who knew Elvis or had seen Elvis, and they could discount some of those stories, couldn't they? See, that's what it would have been like for the gospel writers back then. Their accounts were up for scrutiny, but instead of being rejected as fiction, they were universally accepted as accurate and true. And they are seen in light of that even today. So this option really doesn't hold much water. Now, the last option we have, option number four, is that Jesus is who he said he was. He was the Son of God who deserved to be Lord. So for the remainder of today, I want to take a look at some of the things that Jesus did which confirm that this last option is in fact the only option left standing. So talk is cheap. Let's look at his life and see some proof. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. You can follow along in your Bibles if you want. They will be up here. It reads like this. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them, but he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Now, Jesus, if you remember from last week, Jesus has just been confronted in the synagogue of all places by a person who was controlled by a demon. He cast out the demon, and then he leaves the synagogue, and he goes to Simon's house. Now Simon, or Peter as we know him later on, he was married, and his mother-in-law was sick. Luke, the doctor, says she had a high fever, and that they asked Jesus to help her. Jesus bends over, and he rebukes the fever. Kind of an interesting choice of terms, you know, rebukes the fever. And Peter's mother-in-law was healed. She was healed completely because she actually gets up and begins to wait on them, begins to serve them. We keep reading this passage that in verse 40, at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. See, it was the Sabbath. And the people had to wait for the sun to go down to indicate that the Sabbath was over. That way they could carry the sick to Jesus. Though their compassion for their relatives and their friends was evident, they were bound up by the rules and the regulations of the Sabbath. So in the cool of the evening, Peter's house becomes a hospital. But notice that no one stayed overnight. All with sickness were brought to Jesus and he healed them. All of them. Some even have demons and he cast them out. See, Jesus, he had no medical training. But again and again, we see him healing people. Without medicines, without instruments, without the modern technology that we have today. We see him healing blind people, lame men, dumb men, lepers. We see him raising people from the dead. Not just once, but several times. And not just the recently departed, but some who have been dead for several days. His healings, they occur over a large distance and are often just by a spoken word. This was not just an ordinary man. You or I could never do what Jesus did. He had special powers to perform miracles over people. So was he God's son, as he claimed? Or was he a liar? But you see, that's not all that Jesus did. We read how Jesus had power over people's illnesses. Not over just their illnesses, but over Satan as well. Again and again. We read that he was able to free people from Satan's grip. He freed young people, and he freed old people. He freed people with a single demon, and he freed people who had many demons, a legion. You see, Satan and his demons were petrified of this man. See, this was not just an ordinary man. You or I could never do what Jesus did. He had special powers over Satan. So was he God's son, as he claimed, or was he a liar? But you see, that's not all that Jesus did. We read that he had power over physical things as well. We read that he turned water into wine. He fed 5,000 hungry people with just a few loaves of bread. He walked on the water and he allowed others to do so as well. He showed he had power over nature by calming the wind and the waves during a violent storm. He cursed a fig tree and it curled up and it died. This was not just an ordinary man. You or I could never do what Jesus did. He had special powers to perform miracles over nature. So was he God's son, as he claimed? Or was he a liar? But you see, that's not all that Jesus did. We read that he knew what others were thinking. There were numerous times when he knew what people were thinking and he confronted their thoughts. He did this a few weeks ago with the people of Nazareth. He did this with the Pharisees. He did this with his own disciples. He knew about people's past. Take the woman at the well. He knew the future. He knew what would happen to his disciples, and he predicted that Judas would betray him and that Peter would disown him. He knew what was going to happen to himself, and he spoke openly of his death before it even happened. And more than five times, he predicted that he would come back to life. See, this was not just an ordinary man. You or I could never do what Jesus did. He had special powers to know all things. So was he God's son, as he claimed? Or was he a liar? But you see, that is not all that Jesus did. We read that Jesus was arrested and tried. He was falsely found guilty and sentenced to death. He suffered and was crucified. He died and was buried. But that is not all. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave and was seen in the flesh by over 500 people. The risen Jesus was no legend. People saw him and touched him. They ate breakfast with him. Can you imagine eating breakfast with someone that you saw die just a few days earlier? If anyone wants to disprove the resurrection, all they have to do is produce the bones and the body. But no one did back then, and no one has since, because the tomb lays empty. This was no ordinary man. You or I could never do what Jesus did. He had special powers that allowed himself to be raised from the dead. Was he God's son as he claimed? Or was he a liar? See, Jesus Christ lived on this earth and did more amazing things than you or I could ever imagine in our wildest dreams. These are not just myths and fables. If they were, they would never have gained widespread acclaim as fact. In fact, you will never ever find Jesus' enemies trying to deny what Jesus did. See, they can't deny it because too many people witnessed these things. All they could do was plot to kill him. There is so much proof of who Jesus is that it is mind-blowing. But if you don't believe me, believe some of the eyewitnesses, the ones who knew Jesus. We read in our passage a little earlier this morning that the demons actually came out of people and they were shouting, "You are the Son of God." They knew for certain who Jesus was. How about the centurion who was guarding the cross? He was under no illusion when he said, "Surely this is the Son of God." How about his disciples or the angels or John the Baptist or even Martha? They all concur that Jesus was the Son of God. So who do you say he is? He says he's the Son of God, and his actions and the testimony of many eyewitnesses agree. But what do you say? Do you think he's a liar or a lunatic or a legend? Or do you think that he is who he said he was, the Son of God who deserves to be Lord? Perhaps you heard of the man who thought he was dead when he was actually very much alive. His delusion became such a problem that his family paid for him to see a psychiatrist. Now, the psychiatrist spent many hours, many sessions, trying to convince this man that he was still alive. Nothing seemed to work. Finally, the doctor tried one last approach. He took out his medical books and they opened them up and he proceeded to show the patient that dead men do not bleed. After hours of tedious study, the patient seemed convinced that dead men do not bleed. "Do you agree that dead men don't bleed?" the doctor asked. "Yes, I do," the patient replied. "Very well then," the doctor said, and he took out a pen and he pricked the patient's finger. Out came a trickle of blood. And the doctor asked, "Well, what does that tell you?" "Oh, wow," the patient exclaimed as he stared at his finger incredulously. "Dead men do bleed." And yes, that is a very funny illustration. But the question before us this morning is very serious. See, some people are just like this man, that no matter what the evidence placed before them is, they cannot be convinced about the facts. See, I don't believe that Jesus was a liar or a lunatic or a legend. I believe that he was and is the Son of God. And I pray that today, that you're not like that man who thought he was dead despite all the facts. I pray that with the information that I've given you, that you can believe, that you do believe that Jesus was who he said he was. You see, there can be no doubt that this is true. So who do you say that Jesus is?